If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Judy. I'll leave you to caption this picture for me. Are they captioned?
Children are honest.
Children are honest. Any other caption? A friend of mine sent me this picture. Some time ago. And as I was reading Philippians chapter 2, especially our passage for today, I remembered this picture, and I went through my phone to look for it. And when I looked at it, I just started laughing. Children are honest. I don't know who came up with this. But that left me thinking, how relevant is it to Philippians chapter 2 in what I just want us to discuss this morning? So the apostle speaking to this church, remember I told us that this church, being the first church planted on the European continent and a fresh, inexperienced church, but they were kind of in a place that was really diverse, right? In a place, a cosmopolitan city, people from all over. And when you read from Acts of the Apostles chapter 16, you get a glimpse of the composition of that church. And you read about Lydia, the wealthy woman who is believed to be from Asia. You read about the Roman jailer, who was obviously a Roman official serving in that territory. And also, you remember last time we spoke about the slave girl that was cast out, the spirit, of divination, and she was obviously Greek. So the place, being a cosmopolitan city, of course, the church reflected a bit of what was already in society. So when Paul talks about having the same mind and also having the mind of Christ, was he actually asking them to forget about their uniqueness? Was he about being same? What was he actually asking them to do? Well, it's interesting that he began with a conjunctive adverb in that passage. Therefore, if he mentions the four-part conditional clause. But I'd like us to kind of consider this message in two parts. One part would be to think about how might we complete Paul's joy or complete one another's joy, and again, How might we actually reflect the mind of Christ in our lives? Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, I'll read it. Let me read exactly. If any consolation in Christ, you know, he comes up with this kind of biblical chiasmus. If there is any consolation from being united in Christ, he was actually saying, if you've gotten anything out of following Christ, and he goes on to say, if any comfort of either a four-part conditional clause. Well, that's conditional to us as English speakers. But in actual sense, the apostle was not talking about it as if you did this, if you did that. Therefore, because you've understood what I spoke about, suffering for Christ, and because you have the encouragement of being united with Christ. And so he was not kind of bringing a kind of conditional statement to them, but he was affirming the fact that they have actually been united in Christ. So we might say, like, since there is any consolation in Christ, since there is any comfort of love, if any comfort of love, if his love has made any difference in your life, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and remember, fellowship has come from the Greek koinonia, which is a sharing together, a partnership, a comradeship. So if being in communion with Christ means anything to you. In actual sense, he was saying, because I know that you've been in communion with Christ and in communion with one another, and I know it means something for you. And if any affection and mercy, and he's saying, because I know your hearts are tender and compassionate to one another, because all these things had happened to you, therefore, go ahead and complete my joy. Those are the ifs. If there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, go ahead and complete my joy. Fulfill my joy. I think the apostle was kind of encouraging them to guard against jealousy, guard against prejudice, because obviously being a very culturally diverse church, and to guard against selfishness. There is difference from being selfless and being selfish. And so the necessity of being of one mind and of one spirit is highlighted so much in this very book. I think we are told that in every chapter of the whole book of Philippians, you see Paul mentioning the aspect of being one in Christ. In chapter 1, verse 27, he says, "Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel." And also three times in chapter 2, verse 2, and chapter 5, and verse 5, he says, "Be of the same mind, of one mind. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." And also in chapter 5, in verse 15, he says, "Let those of you then who are mature be of the same mind." And finally, if you can look through in your Bible, also in chapter 4, verse 2, you remember he spoke to the two women that were disagreeing over some issues, and he asked them to be of the same mind. And I believe he was actually asking us to have the mind of Christ. When he asks us to be of the same mind, he asks us to have the mind of Christ. And what he mentions is not something very, very special. He wasn't asking them to complete his joy, and indeed to complete one another's joy by giving us a holiday to Hawaii, or by giving us a nice fish and chips. He wasn't asking, he was just asking very simple things to be done, to be of the same mind, same love, of one accord, no selfish ambition, no conceits, to count others better as ourselves, and to look out for one another. So they were to be joy completers for Paul. And I think in the same manner we should be joy completers for others. Now, ask yourself, what will it take me to complete his joy? What will it take me to complete her joy? By being of the same mind. Being of the same mind doesn't mean throwing away my uniqueness or thinking in the same way. I don't think so. But it means respecting one another. It means looking out for someone, valuing them, and being of one mind and having unity. I always say that unity, for me, does not necessarily mean conformity or unison. Unity is when we do things without selfish ambition, as he says to us in verse 3. Unity is when we esteem others better than ourselves. Unity, for me, is not when we agree on every single thing. That's, to me, is not unity. But unity rejects self-importance and rejects, you know, the idol of self, and sees God as the most important, and sees the other as the second most important. Unity to me means having the mind of Christ. But first of all, we have to care for ourselves. And I know if we don't care for ourselves very well, we might not be able to care for other people. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each person esteem others better than themselves. Then I ask myself, does it mean pulling down on myself? I don't think so. But it means not looking at myself as the most important person. But in fact, let each one look out for the interests of others, but not for their own interests. If we have the mind of Christ, we will have others at our minds, and we will look out for them. I believe we are called to be who we are. I believe we are called to be that individual person that we've been called to be. But when we exalt our self-interest above the will of Christ, then that's when it's not actually having the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I have come up with six axes that I use to describe the mind of Christ. Or how might we learn from the mind of Christ? He said, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery. And number one, selflessness. He stripped himself of his self and made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself of his privileges. Are we willing and ready to do the same in the body of Christ? One of the problems I find today in the church, in society, is selfishness. People only thinking about what they will gain. What is in it for me? What's the catch? You know, but Christ did not think about his equality with God, but made himself of no reputation. He submitted, Christ submitted, taking the form of a servant. You know, going back to verse 7, taking the form of a servant. The problem today, again, I've noticed, it's people wanting to be served and not wanting to serve others. And that's a thing today in the church. I was speaking to young ministers in a certain nation, and I was telling them, what you were doing, I think, is not the mind of Christ. You know, it's in a place that people think that when they are pastors or they are any kind of leader, political leader, they are kind of gods to be worshipped and to be served. And when they go around, they go with armor bearers, and they go with security, and they go with... I don't know if you've seen such people, but I had to speak to them as young pastors, and I told them that you've got to submit to Christ, because it's not about you, it's about Christ. I went preaching in Liberia, a West African nation in Monrovia, and as I was preaching, and the bishop, I used his car, driving from his house to the church, and here came these people trying to open the car for me as if I was some prime minister or something. And I told him, "No, what are you doing? I've got a hand. What are you doing?" And as I was coming into the church, someone, you know, rushed on to bring my Bible along for me. I understand, right? People want to kind of, you know, pay respects to others, but it's not necessary. It's not necessary. I mean, if Christ were to be on earth today, probably he wouldn't step on the soil. He would float on the air, and he would go on private jet everywhere. But that's not the mind of Christ. He submitted to the will of God, and God exalted him. Now, this third one is hard. No one wants to suffer today. But Christ became obedient to the point of death, and he suffered for what he believed. Do you know, in our post-truth society, it's difficult for us today to understand what people go through when they live in a place they have to suffer for the gospel. Some people are killed in some places as we speak for their faith. Some people lose their rights because they have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But we are free today to preach the gospel, to be a Christian. There are some places it's very dangerous to be a Christian. But Christ suffered for what he has came to do. He came to do sacrifice and service. Do we serve others? Or do we always want ourselves to be served? And that's why the hymn we're going to close with in a moment, it always stands with me each time we sing that song. Let me serve you. Brother, sister, let me serve you. When we have the mind of Christ, I believe we will always look out for how to serve others, how to be of service to them. What can we do to help you? What can I do to be of an assistance to you to serve? That's the mind of Christ. And of course, sacrifice. We can sacrifice not just our money, but of course our time, right? We can sacrifice our time our presence. There are some people, what they require when they go through things might be just our presence with them. We sacrifice wherever we are going just to sit with them at that moment to allow them be themselves. And they value that more than you give them £100. That's just the presence. What are we willing to let go because of others? That's what the Bible meant when it says, think of others as more important than yourself. So let's look out. If we have the mind of Christ, let's look out for how we might be of service to others and what might we sacrifice for them. And finally, sonship. For what he did, he was exalted, highly exalted, and given a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. It didn't come easy. He did something before his name was exalted, before he was exalted. Every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We've got a name. There is power in the name of Jesus. Because of what he went through, his name is more powerful than every power of hell. The name of Jesus is more powerful than any situation that we can think of. And so we'll go with that name that is above every other name today. And as we have the mind of Christ, and as we reflect a little bit on what Christ did for us, and think about how we might have the mind of Christ and look out for others, but remember that we've been given a name that is above every other name. And so let's ask ourselves, how might we, as the church in Philippi, complete each other's joy, fulfill one another's joy, and let's respect our individual selves, our uniqueness, and don't be afraid to be yourself. But in being myself, I should be able to also look out for someone else and realize that there are people who go through things and who have to sacrifice a lot because of the name of Jesus Christ, and that we've been given a name that is above every other name. We'll come together in prayer, and as we pray with that name, Jesus, we believe that open doors will be for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, Lord, we proclaim and we pray for ourselves, for this coming week, O Lord, that given the name that is above every name, every door will knock upon shall be opened unto us. Lord, we pray that you help us, Lord, to find out ways we might complete one another's joy. Help us, Lord, to be submissive to you, and help us, Lord, to be of service to others. Help us, Lord, to look out for how we might accompany other people in their journey of faith. And we know that you are able to see us through. We thank you, O Lord, and we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for your word today, and may your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen.